In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars that came here to Earth, caught in their struggle through the whole universe. Robotic warriors.
Who's up to here? Welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, can you take the chorus stop? Only the strong will survive.
Everyone, and welcome to another edition of Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. I am Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Plasticon.
Hey, how's it going, guys? It's been a while.
That's what she said.
Mm-hmm.
And pinch-hitting for us tonight is Optimus 420 SL from the Ground Bridge.
How you doing tonight, everybody? Great to be here.
Welcome to TFYLP. We're a little bit shorthanded tonight. A few of our mainstays on our show, Megamus and Brycey and Protoman, they're at TFCon in Canada right now, and hopefully we will be joined with them shortly. We've been having some issues getting connected with them. I know timing issues and also connectivity issues, I'm sure. But if they can join in soon, then I'm hopefully that they will. But we're going to talk a little bit about some stuff tonight about TFCon, what we can, and then we'll talk about some recent news items and everything. Hope everybody's having a awesome July.
Seems that way so far. To me, at least.
Yeah. So far, so good.
It's been up and down for me, but the move took a lot out of me, and we're still paying for it. Let's see here. I'm trying to figure out what our first topic we want to talk about. Let's talk about some of the exclusives that are at this year's TFCon in Canada. First off, I want to mention the TFCon exclusives Masterpiece Shafter, which is a redeco of, I can't remember which one of the third-party Huffers it's a redeco of. Either you guys know which one it is. I wanted to say Huff.
I think it was called Huff at first.
Yeah.
But then they had a Shafter that came out, but now they do a larger version, it seems.
Well, yeah, Shafter, the original Shafter was a TFCon 2012 exclusive. I actually have one over here in my display cases, kind of right there. That's him. But he came out in 2012, and he was a redeco of iGear's version of Huffer, and this year we have a Masterpiece version of the same character, and it's using one of the third party editions of the Huffer character as the toy, and it is really beautiful. I love the chrome arms and everything. It's essentially identical to Huffer in that that he looks like Huffer. I think he might have a slightly remolded face, and he's more orange, I believe, or I'm sorry, more yellow than orange.
He's pretty cautionary yellow. I saw Piog do a review of him, and he's a pretty solid little thing. I mean, it's identical, like the weaponry and everything is all pretty much about the same. But, I mean, it being an exclusive color like it is going to be a limited run. And it looked really good in those colors. I have to admit that.
Yeah. It does look really good in those colors. Yes, it does.
But for those of you who are wondering who in the hell Shafter is, Shafter is kind of the TFCon
pretty much their
Flash third party. Yeah, it's their mascot, I guess, of sorts. But it's meant to look like G1 Erector, the MicroMaster. And of course, my Erector is famous for the penis jokes. But let's see here. I guess this Shafter is yet another play on that. We also have the TFCon also has some other exclusives. Just announced the At Show exclusive this year is KFC's Iron Paw in a like a Nemesis type redeco, or I'm sorry, a Toxitron type deco, and it's called Pestilence.
Purple on that thing. Pretty sick.
It's purple and like a lime green, and I'm not a huge cassette guy, so I really don't know if it's an actual homage to a pre-existing character or not. I know some of you listeners who may know a lot more about cassettes may know about it. Do either you guys know who it's an homage to, if at all?
I have no idea, but I have seen where they were going to be trying to do like the Lion Force with that particular mold as well.
The original mold was an homage to Steeljaw.
Right. Well, I'm talking about like the colors on that particular one. That does look more like it is almost like a Toxitron one. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of purple involved with that, so I'm not really sure where they're going with it. All I know is it's cool, and I want one so I can put G2 logos on it.
Yeah. Well, you want to put G2 logos on everything.
Dude, that thing screams Generation 2. I'm sorry, it does. You can't say it doesn't.
Is it wrong of me? Because I want the Voltron set more. I'm sorry. I just want the Voltron set more.
The Voltron set was actually a exclusive somewhere else, wasn't it?
I believe so, but I don't think it's out yet. I think all we've seen is a little bit of CG buzz. We haven't seen, like, official in hand or anything like that. Because, you know, Piog would have it right away because Piog does what Piog does. And that, or we probably would have known a little bit more knowing Proto Man. He would be able to let us know as well. But I'll pick his brain later when he gets back from TFCon. Happiness going on up there.
I'm
congratulations, now. Canada! Sorry.
This if you're watching the video version of this podcast on YouTube, and thank you for listening, and be sure to subscribe down there, please. If you're looking at the video version, I've got a screen share right now of Pestilence up, and it's really a really pretty deco.
That thing is beautiful, man. I want one.
It's absolutely beautiful. It's got a
Brett needs to get me one. It does have a phone. Text Brett and say, dude, get me one.
I'm trying to find a screen cap here of...
Actually, Scott, you want one, don't you?
Yes, I do.
I will text Brett right now, live, because I got my phone.
Good luck with that, because I don't know if his... phone's actually turned on. Oh, okay, here we go. Masterpiece Shafter. I'm going to share a picture of this. I should have did this earlier. But yeah, there is a... Oh, X-Transbots, yes. Masterpiece Shafter. That is an absolutely beautiful, beautiful toy.
Yes, it is.
Nice chrome. And I believe the face does look like it's remolded, doesn't it?
It's got more of a pipes look. So yeah, I would say it definitely has. I wish I could zoom in on that. It definitely looks. Yeah, it does look a little remolded, actually.
Because I mean, I'm kind of looking in the forehead here, and I mean, I don't actually own the original version of this toy, so I can't really confirm it. But it kind of looks remolded. Not 100% sure. Also. I'll go ahead and pull up the next exclusive that is, it's not an actual TFCon exclusive, but it is available at TF. It's a TFCon and auto assembly exclusive. And this is Mech Ideas. Buster and Trench is actually available at TFCon right now. And this, for those of you who don't know who Buster and Trench are, it's basically, I'm guessing, Huffer and Pipes animated versions, but they're made to look like Mario and Luigi from the Nintendo games. And get this, the box is stylized like an NES game. NES game box. It's got the black lettering with the tilted red letters. It's got like the Nintendo seal of approval or Mech Ideas seal of approval. And then on the back, it's got like screen caps of them in 8-bit style. And you can't help but love those guys. I mean, just the spin on that I really dig that.
It just screams, "Hello, it's me, Mario."
It just screams, "Hey, Mario." Awesome, and I want them because I love animated. Those things are just sick.
Well, see,
sorry, but Luigi, I always think of Luigi's Mansion from Game
Boy. What they should have done.
Just wrecked. Anyway, go ahead.
What they should have done, in my opinion, is add a third one for TFCon and make it yellow and animated Shafter, and but make him look like Wario.
Then you would have to add the fourth one. You'd have to have Waluigi too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ah, see, I know my Nintendo. I'm good.
Maybe next year's exclusives. Hint, hint. Mech Ideas will be that. I don't know, but I think it would be a good idea personally.
Now, just out of curiosity, do we know what the prices are in these bots at the con?
That is one thing I was trying to.
Yeah,
that's one thing I was trying to confirm through our guys at the con. Maybe they can confirm what the prices are. I don't think I have seen them online. The exclusives, the official exclusives for TFCon, are. I'm sure included in the price of pre-registration. You know, it's like BotCon. You can either go just as an attendee, or you can go with the box set. You know, it's kind of the same. I think the same deal here with TFCon. Limited sets, but really gorgeous. And I know Brian Johnson. Yay, go Canada! Guess what? We're getting a TFCon this year, boy. We're getting a TFCon this year.
Yeah. All the big
and I'm not very far from there, so I'll be there. So ha.
Yeah.
I'm actually slated to go as a dealer helper with Captured Prey. So nice. So I'm going to go and help one of our sponsors, and because I mean he scratches our back with some stuff, and I'm going to help him out, and that should be quite fun. I can't wait.
According to our other store, Mega Toy Fan is forcing me to go, so I have to go. So
yeah,
I'm definitely going to be there.
You must go. You must go.
I must go. So I must go and do much press work for you guys. That's how it works.
Well, I really, really, really we're going to have a huge TFYLP contingency at TFCon USA this year. The way it looks, it looks like pretty much 3/4 of the cast is going to be there. And I really want to take advantage of that. And I hope to put forth a fantastic episode from TFCon USA, the very first one ever, by the way. And I really, really, really want to be able to get these guys, get all of us guys together and do one big cast. Also, the TFCon Canada guests, I know the number one highlight on my my list, I guess, of guests I would love to have. He's at TFCon right now, and that would be the voice of G1 Grimlock, Greg Berger. He is there. Now, Sue Blue, the voice of G1RC, she was supposed to be there. Unfortunately, she broke her leg about a week ago and was unable to attend. And that's really, really sad news. And we hope and wish Sue Blue to get well soon. And best wishes. That's really unfortunate. But she was slated to be there, but she couldn't. TFCon first, you wrong. Yeah, Brian Johnson, he's talking shit on the podcast.
Well, that's what he does. That's what he does.
Page. Why don't you drop another mammoth?
Hey, he had the link. He had the availability to get on this show tonight, and he ignored it. So he can sit there and gripe about it all he wants on
the face. It's all good. It's all good. He'll get his chance in the limelight one day. It's just how it happens.
Moving on to some other news. We'll talk more about TFCon later, if at all possible. If we can get some of our cast members to be able to connect in and log on. So
I can understand. They probably have connection issues. It happens.
Well, having set up at a con before, sometimes connecting via, to a hotel's Wi-Fi connection is a feat in and of itself. So,
When you got everybody and their mother trying to connect through six ports, it's literally impossible. So,
yeah. But we'll move along and talk about some other things. Plasticon, you had a screen share ready?
Ooh, yes. I got a screen share for you guys.
Yeah,
by the way, I did a review of my custom of this thing, but I do have a screen share here. I can get this thing up if my computer will not be silly. I'm on my Mac.
Now, listeners know that we did talk about this a little bit last week, but at that time the auction was not yet complete. And for those of you who are not in the know, a very, very rare, unreleased version of G2 Menasor popped up on eBay, and the auction ended the other, about 3 days ago?
Yeah, it's been a couple days.
And look at the if you can see the screen right now, Plasticon, take it away.
The
that way your
price
screen
that it
power.
Ended at was $26,815. There were 71 bids on this thing, and this thing being very, very, very rare, and them actually still being in Ziploc bags that are still stapled, was rare in itself. But the crazy thing that really threw everybody a loop for is this actually had the launchers that go to Motormaster. The launchers for our audio listeners are identical to Generation 2 Superion's launchers, except for their little the little black launchers with red missiles. So there is some slight differences, but not a lot. For any of my listeners out there, though, I have done a Generation 2 custom, and I will show you that custom right here that I did. This is a G2 custom. If you guys want to see a more in-depth thing, go to my YouTube, and you will actually find it. It's actually on my homepage, Plasticon 1978, Plasticon Reviews, Plasticon Studios. Any of those should direct you directly to my YouTube. You will be able to find it. The reason why this thing was so rare and why it went for so much money is mainly because Motormaster has never been seen, like, outside of prototype pictures that I myself have dug through and found. And this thing coming to surface like it did, I can understand why it went for what it did. But this is my congratulations to the guy that won it. I hope you give us a awesome photo shoot. You don't have to do a video review, but at least give us a decent photo shoot before you decide to shove it in an AFA box, because I know that's probably what you're going to do.
Yeah, I would only dream of having that much money to spend on a toy.
Yeah, join the club, and I spend a lot of money on toys.
Well, I mean, you know, I just recently bought a pickup truck. I mean, my wife and I, we needed a second vehicle desperately, and we needed something that we could haul things in. So I got a good used pickup truck. It's had less than 100,000 miles on it, and the asking price was less than half. Well, actually, about half of what this auction ended for. And the fact that you could almost go buy a bare bones Camaro for the price that this auction ended for is
I still have about 6,000 left over, but yeah.
yeah. I mean, it's unreal. Unreal.
Yeah. I love Transformers more than the average person, and Plasticon's actually seen my collection, so he can actually vouch for me on that. And nice. I can tell you flat out, I've got figures that are worth thousands and thousands of dollars. I still would not pay $26,000 for that. I'm sorry. It's just way too much money. I know it's probably worth it, but I would not personally do that.
Yeah, I myself thought it was kind of ludicrous and crazy. I heard Vangelis talking some buzz and stuff like that. This was, I think, a couple podcasts ago that he did, and I listened to his spill and everything, and he thought it was pretty outrageous. But I do, like I said, wholehearted handshake congratulations for getting this. I hope it ended up in an excellent collection and you keep the thing like mint if you possibly can, because that honestly is a piece of history that was purchased. So a lot of us that might be slightly envious, but myself, I'm not really that envious because I'm a customizer. My hand of congratulations goes out to you.
Well, you know, coming from someone like Optimus 420 there said, obviously I love Transformers. I love toys, but you know, there is something. Oh, by the way, Plasticon, Brian Johnson said you sent him a link to the YouTube video, not the Hangout link.
We're already live. So
yeah.
Well, you want me to shoot it?
Sure. We get get a fourth voice in here. There comes a thing with responsibility, and if you've got the money. You know, if you're raking in six figures a year and you can afford to spend $30,000 on a toy, because essentially by the time you add in PayPal fees and eBay fees and everything, you're going to spend at least another grand on this toy. So $28,000, $29,000, you're spending nearly 30 grand on one small set of toys, albeit rare. Great, but you know, honestly, I mean, when it comes down to it, it's a toy. I mean, if it really came down to brass tacks, nearly every one of these toys behind me would go, you know, because they're just toys. I mean, I've sold toys before, and this is kind of like an editorial for me, but I've sold toys before to pay for my wedding. I've sold toys before to pay for vehicles. And I've sold toys before to pay for bills, because whenever it comes right down to it, they're just toys, and I collect them because I enjoy them. They're fun, and yes, there are a few that I will not part with because of sentimental value. But you know, overall, pretty much everything back there, if need be, I would sell. And I don't collect for sheer value of it, and this auction to me is not necessarily, it's almost like a bragging rights status symbol. You know, it's like, look how much money I can spend on, I can go blow on a toy. And I don't know if this is just sour grapes, but to me, I couldn't be proud to spend that much money on a toy. I find it, I mean, even though I have owned $1,000 toys before, and I will again. But, you know, a grand is really up there at the max for me. You know, spending $3,000-$4,000 on a single toy, to me is just me personally, from my standpoint in life and my stature in life, to me the idea of spending that much on a toy is ludicrous. And
it's insane to you, but you don't know the person that actually bought it. I mean, the guy could be a millionaire, and that could be just changed.
And that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying, That's why I preference it.
Right.
Being
one of the guys that doesn't have a lot of money. I don't have a lot of money either. I do have a lot of awesome stuff because I do a lot of customs and I've done a lot of dealing to be able to get what I have. But when it comes to buying stuff on eBay, I'm not a bidder. I don't like to bid. It's interesting to see something go up this high. And for once, I think this is actually going to put Generation 2 in the spotlight of, hey, people like Generation 2. And that's one thing I honestly think has been pretty much missing the boat. We get a trickle of newer figures out every now and then that homage it. Or there might be a couple like, okay, they decide to just do like a repaint. But Hasbro right now, if you're going to do an Armada version of that Megatron and a G1 version of that Megatron, you would be fools to pass up repainting that thing into Generation 2.
I knew this was coming.
Well, I mean, honestly, yeah, you knew it was coming, but that's the way it is. Honestly, that is the way it should be.
I guarantee you, it's probably going to be a BotCon exclusive or something to do with something like that.
And you know what? I'm going to buy it because I want it. Because honestly, because we haven't got...
Hasbro's going to see this auction, and they're going to see the dollar signs associated with this, and I can guarantee you they're already working on a BotCon set or something like that in the next couple of years, where you're going to see that Megatron in there as the main piece in that BotCon set. Yeah. So, you know, a figure that you can probably get for $30-$40 and paint yourself is not going to become $100 or $200 on its own that you're going to have to go after.
Right. But since we're talking about box sets, the one reason why I didn't jump on the Machine Wars /G2 box set is because it wasn't a pure box set of nothing but one cool, you know, genre. They could have gotten away with making just a Machine Wars set or making just a G2 set, but they had to make a mixture. Honestly, if they're going to do something like, say, next year or, say, the following year, we don't know yet, because they usually wait a couple years before they use a mold like that anyway. Probably, we would probably end up, like you said, see that as maybe like a centerpiece. But it'd be really cool to see some more G2 stuff thrown in there, because I know people thought the colors were garish. I know people thought the gimmicks were junk. Yeah, the G2 really does deserve more, you know, spotlight than it's been getting. And I'm glad that certain things are coming out finally. So this auction's going to probably push maybe even knockoff vendors out there. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, Surge Toys and everybody else out there that's been watching us. Why can't you guys just remold this thing? Just remold it in those colors and people will buy them. It doesn't matter. And honestly, I can see the third party guys that did the Minasaur. I can probably guarantee you something clicked in their head and they're going to do a G2 version. Bad as that Motor Master was, they will probably still do it.
Go ahead, Optimus.
I was trying to get Fan Page in. He's been quiet the whole time. Go
ahead, Brian. I shut up so you can talk now. Hey, to our Canadian viewer guy over here that isn't at TFCon, how's it feel?
Great.
They're great.
Oh, yeah, right. I'm supposed to be professional. Okay, I'll get these glasses on. There we go. That professional for you.
Yes. Okay, I know. But to finish up my thought though, a while ago, on the G2 Minasaur, and don't get me wrong, you know, I mean, if you got the money to spend on it, more power to you. Great, I'm glad you were able to get it. But honestly, you know, from my standpoint of view, it's even more garish than the color scheme on that toy to spend that kind of money on a toy. I mean, it's just unfathomable. I've been into what if games. You know, well, what if you had that kind of money? Would you buy it? You know, well, what if I had $1 million? Would I even be collecting toys? You know, I don't know. And that's not the point. You know, I'm not going to be drawn into these debates that you know, well, what if you do this? What if I don't have that kind of money now? And every toy that I have right now, I'm proud of. I am, you know, and I feel blessed to have. But just that kind of money is just, oh, my God. I mean, and the house that I'm in right now, that price comes is like a down payment for this house. And whenever you just put it in those terms, I mean, and the thought, well, it went into slightly retooled and redeco of an existing widely available toy. And it just boggles my mind. And that's my thoughts on it. I mean, it's really cool. It's really awesome. And the fact that it's so rare and somebody is able to afford that. And, you know, like you said, Plasticon, I really hope that somebody who can take really good photos and everything gets a hold of it. I mean,
honestly, if you're a millionaire that bought that, yes, I'm pretty sure you have the money to do that. But if you're not, you probably should try to do something because – honestly, you know, that right there is like on the level of the type of people that buy prototypes that are online. Because, you know, yeah, we've seen people from Toy Hunter put, I mean, and I've heard this, you know, a couple times, have actually auctioned this stuff off on eBay. And there has been some really rare items that's come across there. And it's came from that show, that how they ended up on eBay because they had to get rid of it at the end of the show. Once the show is over with, what do you do with it, you know? Well, so you have to make back profit. But the way I see it is that's allowing a lot of the community itself to actually get its hands on a few items that some people thought never existed. So, like I said, this thing blew me away because of the launchers in it. The launchers is what really set it apart because I never saw pictures of the launchers ever. And that's the first time I've ever seen them.
Well, for me, I don't collect everything just because it's rare. I mean, I do have a Nightmare Unicron, but that only cost me like $30, so I decided, hey, why not? Also came with a rare Matrix, so I won't go through that. But, yeah, just because it's, ooh, it's rare, ooh, it's old, ooh, it's unreleased, doesn't mean I have to buy it. And a lot of the stuff I know I'm not going to get, so... You know, I'll just buy like a deluxe from Walmart and I'll be happy.
Hey, we need a totally G2 version of One Step Grimlock. Now,
yes.
I mean, could you imagine this in green and electric blue and maybe some red?
It has to be done now.
Well, honestly, if they're gonna do it in G2 colors, they need
and
to
down
do it
here. Now. Down here, chrome the tips of his shoes.
I got blue paint somewhere. Where's my blue paint? There's my blue paint.
Yes.
Come on, blue paint. There you go. Take it and paint it.
Yes. People are probably wondering, Weird Wolf has lost his ever-loving mind.
No.
Yeah. Yes, I never had one to begin with. I can make a point.
Now, Weird Wolf's been around Plasticon too long.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad...
I mean, I think, like, the weirdest thing I've seen on eBay other than... Like, okay, here we go. Here's a good question for all you guys.
Uh-oh.
How, like, looking on eBay, when it comes to generation whatever Transformers, what is the weirdest thing you've seen that's come up that's actually genuine?
Of, on eBay as far as Transformers?
Yeah. Like, I'm even talking like rare, like stupid rare. Like, where the hell did that even come from?
Probably Lucky Draws.
I have
or a pre-Transformer or something.
I mean, I still have no idea where the Nightmare You Cry came from.
This is one of the weirdest ones I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with you on that one.
You know, there's also those crazy Beast Wars Neo like sets, like Brett was talking about that one time. You know, that comes with the little. Well, I don't know if they're beasts. I guess they were late G1 that had the little battle beasts that were in them.
Uh-huh.
I guess those are pretty strange and rare, and.
Those were actually battle beasts. The main ideas came from G1 designs, but totally different toy line. They're actually battle beasts. But yeah, this is how weird.
Well, battle beast was part of Transformers though too.
In Japan, yes.
Yeah.
Boy, which is weird.
Most people don't know that.
I think the strangest Transformer item, one of the strangest Transformer items I've seen that I had never actually, I didn't even know existed until I saw one in the collection of Sidecutter from Captured Prey. By the way, CapturedPrey.com, great toys, great prices, great service, CapturedPrey.com, our sponsor, as well as MegaToyFan.com. And if you're at a convention such as TFCon, Canada right now, you can drop by the Mega Toy Fan booth and get some great deals on vintage items.
You will not be disappointed.
No, you will not be disappointed.
I'm pissing on the savings onto you.
He's a used car salesman.
Well.
Who's the car? The car chooses you.
Okay. I know, right? Please buy this car so that my wife doesn't divorce me.
But I think the weirdest thing I've seen, and that I didn't even know existed until I saw it in person in his collection, it was some kind of weird Beast Wars Neo octopus. I think it was Neo. Yes.
It's the octopus playset, and it comes with the little squid dude, right? Yeah.
Yeah. That was the most unusual thing. I saw it, and I'm like, what the hell is that? And he goes, oh, you don't know what that is? I'm like, I've never seen it before. Is it a Transformer? And he goes, oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like Japanese Beast Wars. I'm like, I never have seen this or heard anyone talking about it. Where did you find it?
One of the weirdest things I've seen, and, you know, it's a vintage, but that's that Grimlock that's mixed in with Godzilla.
Yes.
And this was years ago when I saw that. Like, jaw dropped when I saw that because I thought it was gorgeous, but there's some people think it's ugly, and I'm like, I want one. That is just really neat.
I know a KO company started reproducing those things not too long ago. I'll look into it for you. But, yeah, that thing is awesome.
I never knew that even existed because I knew about, like, the prehistory bots where they had, like, the Grimlock that's got the real sharp teeth and a sharp horn. And, by the way, those guys that want to complain about Grimlock actually looking more like a dragon in the movie, well, guess what? He looked like a dragon in prehistory Transformers, which was a KO of G1, so why you
complain? Yeah.
Anyway, it was probably some of the coolest stuff. I mean, even Sludge with the crazy wings and the bird beak and all that. Triceratops with freaking deer horns. I mean, come on.
You had to go there.
Hey, I'm sorry. Those are awesome. They really are. There's some people out there that think they're just the hideous.
Yeah, I'm pretty convinced that Sludge was made because the Dinobot raped Bambi. But anyway.
Okay. I have Sludge. It's actually a pretty good figure. The one thing you got to look out for is the horns on the front of the heads, because you split that open, it's pretty thin rubber, and that could kind of break, I guess.
The OE version, they're talking about the G1.
Well, let's go. Since we're talking about Dinobots, Let's talk about those third-party paddles.
Yes, I'm actually
getting ready. I worked on my back on such a raw deal. My God, the way that poor thing died. Oh, God. And they're actually making a figure of it, which is amazing. I love it.
Okay, here we go. From Mechaform, mechaform.com, you have MF02, funny name, MF02, paddle, which is an homage to G1 paddles that was actually, I think he was like a Dinobot that was originally, that never left the prototype stage, I guess. But we never saw one in G1, but we heard that. What's that?
He has made comic appearances.
Yeah.
Yeah, comic appearances.
And he died. But, yeah.
Never a toy, though. That's the thing. It was never a toy till now.
Yeah.
I actually bought this in the worst way. I'm sorry. I just do.
Yeah, he does look pretty neat. Essentially, he kind of looks like a retool of their sludge.
Yeah, I
wouldn't be surprised if it literally is a retool.
Yeah,
because it really does look like sludge.
Yeah, and here is essentially the dino mode right here. If you're actually watching the video right now, MFO2 paddle.
I love that he's got rocket launchers on his shoulders and a freaking cannon that's like the size of his neck and his head on his back. That's just cool.
I'm sorry. It's so ridiculous that how could you not buy it?
Yes. MFO5 Plunge, which is a swoop homage.
That is actually in cartoon colors, which is even cooler.
And if you notice the eyes right here, just kind of like on the G1 swoop on the cartoon. It's really, really awesome there. MFO4 Sneer, which is Snarl.
That's just, that reminds me of Dino Riders. Just the way they mounted the guns on his rear hips. Seriously, it screams Dino Riders.
And you have Gunk.
It's really not.
Gunk, which is their version of sludge. And if you remember the picture that I showed earlier of Paddle, it looks like they might have remolded the head and down here around the legs just added on paddles or fins for that. And essentially it looks like it might be the same toy beyond that.
I love how the gun looks like the G1 gun.
Yes. Well, their launchers actually have the G1 launcher.
Have a lot of love for the Generation 1. You can tell because it looks like the heads are actually going to have translucent stuff in it, doesn't it?
These are CAD renders, colored CAD renders, so it's not really known. These are also the same people that's putting out the MFO1 Sky Guardian, which is their version of Skyfire. Looks to be... approximately 10 inches tall is what they're talking about. There's some prototypes of them in snow.
Right. For anybody that wants to actually see a hands-on review, Piog already did a review of that one, and it is very well done. It's a nice robot. It really is.
Now, is it this one, or did he do a review of the Kronos?
Yeah, because Kronos is out, too.
Maybe it, no, it was Kronos. It's Kronos. I stand corrected. It is Kronos.
Because I know Kronos is just really awesome. It's really good. Now, this here looks very, very awesome as well. I really do need to look at that. I like the head sculpt on this. Mm-hmm. Now, I like how it retains the G1 look, but yet it's actually upgraded enough to work. If you have a lot of classics figures, he's definitely tall enough to fit in that toy line reasonably well, because Skyfire is a very huge bot.
Yeah, and
I really do like this figure a lot.
Yeah,
I think they did a very good job with it. I'm surprised that these third party companies are actually able to, you know, get so close to what either the G1 looked like or like the cartoon aesthetics. So,
for me,
my hat goes on to these guys.
Now, at the same token, Hasbro also is releasing a gem because their Skyfire looks awesome too.
Yeah, it's like a crazy. It really looks much better than the Generations one that they released before.
Yeah, but, yeah, I totally want it.
This is kind of on a side note, but
size scale, Skyfire is not supposed to be a midget.
Right, not supposed to be a midget. But on a side note, all the guys out there that has your Generation Skyfire, Jetfire. There was a knockoff company that actually made one similar to it, but it's split apart to actually combine with your Classics Prime, which was really weird.
Well, actually, but funny enough, you could.
I think it was a really limited time that I've seen them on eBay. But it was a very cool add-on. It was very interesting how they were able to do that with that robot.
The original one can do it too, Jason. It's a fan made.
This one literally came apart to properly attach. Not like cool. a kid basher.
But what? Can I say that that Jetfire third party set I probably would never get? Not because I hate third party toys, it's just they're usually expensive and I usually don't have that kind of money. So. And I don't do the buy, sell, and trade online type thing anyway, so that's pretty much the only way how I'm going to get it. So the later Jetfire is the one I'll be going after, but I still stand to say that that figure does look good.
I'm messing with Machine War Soundwave here, if anybody's wondering what the noise is.
Oh, Soundwave,
and he's awesome.
I thought you were playing with the Special K soda you were drinking before. I didn't know.
Yeah. Hey, I don't care what anybody says. Machine Wars was awesome. If you guys don't believe me, go watch every review because I have them all.
I see you.
All I need is Machine Wars Prime, and I'll have the complete line.
We need a fist bump. Oop, I hit your face.
Actually, another figure I'm actually looking for, I want to get another Thunderclash.
Yeah, Thunderclash is one of those ones that, you know, suffer
from
that figure. Yes. And if any of you guys out there have been looking for, like, getting hold of a Thunderclash, but you've never had the mold in hand, I kind of suggest you try to seek out a Machine Wars Prime, and then you'll figure out whether you really want to dump the money on a Thunderclash. But the only difference between the two essentially is the launching mechanism. Thunderclash has little bitty missiles that are about that long that launch out, and they drop through a little chute that's part of the tower when it's in base mode. And the Machine Wars Prime literally just has spring-loaded missiles that you fire off by just pulling back a plunger, which is kind of cool. So there are some differences between the two, but if you've never had one or the other, seek out a Machine Wars one, and then see if you really want the Thunderclash.
This is kind of off topic.
Yes, though, it does have gold plastic syndrome. The
it's pretty much why I'm seeking out another one. I want to fix one of the ones I have. yeah.
This is kind of off topic, but is that Machine Wars Soundwave, was that repainted as a Striker at some point or something?
No, it was originally a Predator from, I think.
Yeah, it was Generation 1 at the tail end, European Predator. And then they did it in this Machine Wars Soundwave. And then I'm trying to remember, I believe they redid it as Soundwave again during Universe.
Correct? Yeah, okay, I was thinking, what was the Universe one?
Because the Universe Striker was actually a repaint of the actual Beast Machine Striker. There was no real difference in the paint.
Right. So the one that you're thinking of, I think that was Soundwave that they redid twice, right? They did a Machine Wars, like they took that mold during Universe and called it. It was Soundwave, right?
Yeah.
I'm not that familiar with that one.
It was Soundwave. Okay.
I know they had the rubber that they did Sandstorm, but then I think they turned back around and made it like Vortex or something like that, or something different, because they reused that mold as well.
See, that's something I wish Hasbro would have kept doing, because I thought it was awesome how they kept bringing the older molds back by doing that, because then people could actually acquire molds that they couldn't get their hands on before. I thought that was an awesome thing to do. I'm really disappointed you walked away from that.
Well, it's like Starscream and BB. Most people that, you know, didn't collect Beast Wars 2 or Beast Wars Neo, you know, those two molds were essentially Dreadwing in Generation 2. And then later on, they were released as a different version of Dreadwing, except for it was like a greenish color, is more military color during the universe. So it was only done three different times.
Five, actually.
Well, if you're counting
another release done of it during the Armada line. It was a limited edition release. It was a Target exclusive. And then you got another release which came out in Japan after Beast Wars Neo, which was another limited release in their universe line.
Yeah, and it was in the G2 colors, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Almost.
Yeah, it was pretty close.
Remember this?
Close, but not exactly. Yeah, and I remember how long it took you to put it back together.
No, I finally did it.
I'm off it again. Before we get too far off topic, I do want to bring up some other third-party Dinobots that were announced. Fans Project, the people that put out M3 Intimidator and the Insecticons and also some of the awesome Headmasters, they are also putting out Lost Exo Realm, Columpio, and Dreepan, I guess. This is their version of Sludge. What makes these guys really special is that they are Target Master Dinobots. And
I know, I saw that. It was weird.
To me, that really is appealing.
Isn't that going to be more affordable than the other ones?
I'm wanting to say it's these guys, if I'm not mistaken, are going to be Voyager size and priced at around $100. And if you consider the size, the Voyager size, and the fact that it comes with a Target Master and their Dinobots, to me that's a reasonable price. But don't quote me on that. I'm not 100% sure. Let's see here. This is a Canadian retailer I'm looking at, so I don't know if.
Yay!
Yeah. Actually, it's $102.99 Canadian. So what does that translate into American?
Less in bucks or something.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what they're.
We have a Canadian here, and he can't tell us.
Okay. Let me think of the math. Okay, if you carry the one, it equals you'd be paying less.
Yes. So if it's $102.99 in Canadian dollars, then you can just bet that it's less than $100 or right at $100 U.S. Personally, I think that's a really good price for a Target Master Dinobot. And if I can pick up the Sludge at least, I will be all over that one. That whole set sounds like it might be awesome.
Like the idea of Target Masters with them, because that's something they never give us during, you know.
Well, it's giving us an updated version of Dinobots, and it's also giving us a look at them in a way that we have never seen them before with Target Masters. It's like, we know the Dinobots are around in Season 3, and they never were killed off for Season 4, so why not give them a target, some kind of master partner? You know, I really like that forward thinking that they're doing with that, and it's really, really awesome.
They do a Headmaster. One of them's going to have a mohawk.
That would be insane if they get it Headmasters, but I think that would actually have been kind of cool to see that. I would have really enjoyed seeing
it. Or which one's the Stegosaurus? I think the Stegosaurus one would have that.
Yes. You also have the Planet X Neptune. I'm going to pull this one up.
That is a beautiful figure.
If you're into the Fall of Cybertron designs or thereabouts, this is right down your alley. Check out the green socks over here. That's really pertinent to what we're talking about. They're Minecraft socks. Oh, by the way, if you are a Minecraft fan and play Minecraft on the PC, TFYLP, we have a private server going on for Minecraft players. And if you would like to join in, let me know on the Facebook group, and I can add you in. We do have a few rules on there, just general etiquette rules. Beyond that, it's an open world, and it's hosted on the Minecraft Realms. So if you're interested in joining that, please let me know on the TFYLP Facebook group. But
rule number one is brush your teeth. Rule number two is pick your nose in public.
Yes, and be sure to wipe your nasty ass.
Probably not on the nose you just picked, but okay.
Yeah,
sorry for the interruption.
Clearly not in that order.
But anyway, Planet X PX03 Neptune, their version of Fall of Cybertron Sludge. You can see a silhouette here if you're looking at the video version of Fall of Cybertron, or their version of Fall of Cybertron Grimlock, it looks like, standing next to him.
Well, I'm not sure if that's their version or if that's Hasbro's. I think they put it in the back to actually go with the Hasbro version.
The arms look different.
Scale with the Hasbro version. I have the swoop, and they do scale with the Hasbro version quite nicely. It's why I'm looking forward to getting the rest of these. They scale with it.
I like the idea they're Voyager size, and they're not going to come. I mean, how much was that one that you bought, Scott?
I actually bought mine actually out of steel. As I did a bidding auction, and I hit the guy for $30. So, but wow. you can actually get them for like $70, $80. I've seen them go for as high as $130. It depends on where you're going.
Yeah, it's that was Kalis, I think, was the name of that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Kalis.
It's a really beautiful figure.
Prototype's looking pretty good.
I know Chad Williams, he was able to pick up Kalis there for a while, and I don't know if he still has it or not, but it was. I know he was really pleased with it. It was a gorgeous figure.
But again, you also have to be careful, too, as there are some cheap KOs of those figures out, too, so you have to know what you're looking at. Really, I'm a fan of KO. I don't mind buying a KO if it's good, but, you know, if you have a bad one,
But
describe the displeasure when you open up a box and the thing's in pieces in front of you, and you're like, "But I just..." But I prefer a good one.
Let's see here. Anybody have any other thoughts on third party Dinobots? I know there's also Gigapower's Snarl that they're third party Masterpiece Snarl that they're getting ready to come out with. I don't have any screen share for that available right now, but any thoughts on that? My thoughts is that it's too big. I mean, it looks gorgeous, but I think it's too big.
Yeah, it's too large for me. I don't know. I don't think it fits in correctly. I don't think comes to scale, yes, I know everybody says, well, Transformers has always had scale off. Well, if you're going to collect like a line of, say, I want all five Dinobots, right? Why not stick with the simple fact that you're trying to keep them all within scale of each other instead of, oh, we got the Masterpiece that's here, and then I got this that's like down here. And, it throws everything off, and it doesn't look right when it's displayed on the
shelf. I don't understand why they couldn't have made it Masterpiece Grimlock's scale, because to me the Masterpiece Grimlock is perfectly fine. There is no need for a new Masterpiece Grimlock, in my opinion. And why they couldn't have made it that scale, aside from the fact that maybe they want to put out their own Grimlock in that larger scale to try to entice people to buy more of those. But to me, that makes no sense, because if people are already looking for or buying these for their Masterpiece collections and they're already happy with Masterpiece Grimlock, then why are you making them buy another Grimlock?
If y'all look at my screen here real quick, here's that picture of that Dinobot we're all looking at.
Yeah, Gigapower. What's the name of it?
It's third-party Dinobot Snarl. They don't have a name for it up yet.
Okay.
But this is the prototype, and it looks amazing.
Yes.
I don't mind that it's that big, because Dinobots are supposed to be big. But to me, it looks really good.
It looks gorgeous.
If I can make a point, I missed out on the first retail release Grimlock, so I kind of can't wait for this, but that's just me. And there's only, like, how many people that don't have that and are looking into it, so.
Yeah. Well, Fans Toys, the same people that put out Quakewave, they just recently released Scoria, and I hear a lot of mixed reviews on that. It looks awesome. It's really great. But the biggest problem I've seen people complaining about is that there are some loose joint issues on Fans Toys Scoria, which, from what I understand, there is a fix for. But me personally, if you're going to spend $200 on a masterpiece size toy, I don't want to have to repair it as soon as I get it out of the box.
No, I hate when I have to do that.
But, you know, for all the naysayers is like, well, you know, third parties, you know, they, you know, you pay that much money, you shouldn't have to fix them. Well, news for you. Hasbro toys sometimes need to be fixed right out of the package, too. I mean, how many people had a wonky Generations Rhinox that had to forepolish his hips right out of the package? You know, so it happens. I mean, granted, Rhinox was not a $200 toy, but, you know, Masterpiece Rodimus Prime, you know, from Takara had those panel issues, and that was a $200 toy.
And so, not only that. These are Hasbro. The Hasbro company is professional, so they've been doing this for how many years? And third-party companies have been doing toys for like how long?
Yeah, and most people don't realize that these third-party companies, the designers may be toy designers and toy enthusiasts, but 9 times out of 10, the factories that these toys are produced in have nothing to do with toys. I mean, as their main cash cow. Some of them are, you know, produced in you know, control factor, you know, control panel factories and microwave factories and you know, just anything. You know, maybe some company that makes Rubbermaid lids, you know, that will, you know, produce third party toys on the side. You know, so
third party toys and bread.
Yes. I mean, any Chinese company will do something for money. Any American company would do the same, I'm sure.
I don't know if anybody has seen this one yet, but I'm going to screen share something real quick because I think it's mighty beautiful. This is Fans Project's latest headmaster. This is...
I actually had that ready for Q next.
we think alike. It's got to be the lack of hair.
Well, it's a lack of hair, plus I'm also a headmaster nut. I love headmasters.
Telepathy, oh God, we're in trouble.
Monster series. But, you know, this is a very beautiful figure.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I love how they fully nailed the headmaster. The headmaster has that full G1 look, but yeah, it's optimized to look like it'll fit in your generation's line perfectly.
Yeah.
And the bat mode is just awesome.
Absolutely.
I love how they made the bat mode still like a big fat bat instead of trying to slender it down and, you know, ruin it. It still has that aesthetic. That's what's kind of cool about that one.
I also like how you have his mind control speakers positioned on like the sides like evenly. It just,
yeah.
It seems a bit unnatural, which is cool because it's bat. So.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome if you like that thing.
Like, I know he's going to be hard for me to get in my collection because I just finally got Chrome Dome the other day. I actually had the other one first. But he's going to be mine. I will have this.
Mine. I dig the head sculpt on the bat, too. It's pretty cool.
It's like the perfect updated version of a G1 figure, which is what the Generations line is technically supposed to be. So this fits in perfectly with that. I like this a lot.
And speaking of third-party headmasters, recently released, and this is available at our sponsor, CapturedPrey.com, for $99. This is Swamper from who makes this? Toy World. And this is the third-party version of Skullcruncher. And I love the reason the way they did this. You can have the G1-esque chest for it. Or you can flip, and he's also got the G1-esque headmaster. Not necessarily fond of the goofy-looking grin that he has on his face, but...
I love the grin because that is like, if you have a G1 Skullcruncher and you look at the grin is almost identical, and I love that because that's straight up an homage to that.
But if you ever see Skullcruncher just walking around in the cartoons, he's got, like, sometimes you'll see him out of the corner with a goofy-looking smile.
Yeah.
You know? In the comic book, like, you know, he's always got a goofy-looking smile before he blows something away. So it's like, you know, it just works for the character, too. I like this a lot.
All right, fine. I'll smack something. Stop asking, okay?
But we have, there he is in his gator mode. And I'm trying to find an image. Oh, there he, you can also flip the torso around to where the alligator head is actually on the chest of the robot. So you can
Like an Alicon.
Yeah, you can actually. Well, that could be a nice remold of this toy, a redeco of this toy.
Interesting color scheme for sure.
Yeah.
Well, the last Alicon we got wasn't really all that great.
It was still a good design. It's just that the construction of it was kind of weak. The chest. You know, the way you can have the G1 style chest with the panel on the chest, like the G1 style Skullcruncher, or like a Neo G1 style with the alligator head on the chest. I really like the choices that you get with this, and it's really awesome. And it is also available at CapturePrey.com for $99, and it is in stock now.
So get yours today.
Yes.
Maybe I will.
Maybe you should. Do it now. Do it now.
Do it now.
If I did it now, I wouldn't be professional.
Do it.
From all the reviews I've seen of that thing, it's a fairly solid
side. It's fun. We have cookies.
Then you guys have any...
Ryan jumps the train and kills it. But anyway...
Any of you guys have any thoughts on the third-party Dinobots or third-party Headmasters?
I am enjoying the direction that third-party is actually going now, because for a while there it felt very monotonous because every time I turn around it's a third-party combiner. Thank God they're now trying to dip into certain things that most people really want. The next thing I want to see them try to do are Power Masters, because it'd be very interesting to see like a third party getaway or Joyride. You know, I think that'd be really cool seeing.
Well, I want them to stick with the Headmasters for now, because I'd like to see them do the Junior Headmasters as well.
I'm sure it's coming, because you think about it, if they do like the Junior Headmasters, that gives them more of the car aesthetic thing, and then they can jump right into Power Masters right directly after that, which would be pretty neat.
But anything else that you guys have on the top of your lists to talk about right now? It looks like our TFCon guys are not going to be able to join us. Because
they're probably tired and worn out from it.
Well, I do know that Megamus was attending the auction tonight at 9:00, so that's why he couldn't be on. Bryce, he attempted to, but I think he was having connection issues. And of course, Dan, Protoman, he is one of the people that helps organize TFCon, so I'm sure he is so busy right now. But we are going to try to get with those guys at some point this weekend and see if we can get some extra footage and some information from TFCon. For TFYLP listeners. So keep a lookout on the TFYLP page and on the TFYLP Twitter for any of that information. Like I said, any of you guys have anything further you want to talk about before we close?
Actually, yeah, I do. What are your thoughts on the new Zavrin third-party God Bomber armor?
It's actually nice. I thought it was crossover gen. Is it Zavrogen or cross? I've heard it Zavrogen. I've heard it crossover gen.
I've always called it Zavrin because the X is supposed to be like a silent Z the way it's written, but It all depends on your on what really tickles your fancy. They're making money regardless anyway.
But, yeah, hand over fist.
Exactly. You know, you can call them Chihuahua Chow Mix, and as long as they're making a pretty figure, they're still making money. Yeah, but
Chow Mix, please deliver.
Coming like, to your third time.
I was actually one of the ones that bought the Sovereign armor, the Trailer Force armor to begin with, and I actually have it merged with my Hank A. Optimus from the Classics line, and I bought it for the sole purpose of what they just released with the God Bomber armor, and I'm telling you, I'm not disappointed. That armor looks excellent, and the way that it's made, it actually looks like it fills in all the gaps and loose pieces that are on the original Sovereign armor. So I think it's a
well. Have you seen the reissue of that Sovereign armor that's in black?
Yes.
There's like a backpack or something like that they built into the black version that's not available on the other one. So I know. There's some stuff that's actually missing because they didn't do it a certain way, and then when they turned back around, did a lot of little bit of remolding that they did, they fixed a lot of those issues with the black version. Now, I'm not sure after the black version, if it came out, if there were more problems fixed with ones afterward. But as far as I know, I want to get a Sovereign because I've been kicking an idea around for a while, and for those guys that do have the Evasion Mode Prime, if you look at it, if you pop the pins out and got rid of the kneecaps, you can probably fold this guy in half and make him fit in a Power Master body. So, hint, hint, nudge, nudge to any of you guys out there that's willing to try to do that. I don't have a second one of these yet. When I do, you're probably going to see some craziness because you know me. It's all
about too crazy. Have you tried Gunface? I'm sorry, I had to throw that in.
Well, before we close, guys, our guests, I want to give you an opportunity to plug your YouTube channel and also your podcast. So, Optimus, you want to talk about the Ground Bridge real quick and let listeners know about it?
Sure. The Ground Bridge is a weekly broadcast. We do it every week. Plasticon's been on. Brian is a regular mainstay. And we pretty much discuss Transformers news during the week. We're a professional cast, but we like to clown around a lot and make it fun. So we throw barbs at each other, but it's all in good humor. We're not abusing puppies and kittens or nothing. You know, we just have a good time. And the Ground Bridge is actually linked to two channels. It's to the Optimus 420 SL channel, and it's also on its own. And it's also linked to a third channel, which is called DERP. And that is Dark Mount Entertainment Reviews Podcast. And we have our first full-fledged movie review up on that channel right now. We did Transformers the movie. And myself and Brian were involved, and Avenging Tragedy was also involved. And we pretty much played the audio of the movie, and we gave our critique on what we were doing with the movie in our own little style. So there's three different channels you can actually look at to review our content. So Optimus 420 SL, The Ground Bridge with Optimus 420 SL, and Dark Mount Entertainment Reviews Podcast. Those are all three channels.
Awesome. And
actually, I kind of want to plug Avenging Tragedy before going any further because he is the guy that actually designed the logo for TFYLP.
Absolutely.
Go check out his stuff. He's a very nice guy. He is a very talented individual, and give the guy some love because he's the guy that came up with it.
And he's got some funny crap on his page, that's for sure.
Oh, he's hilarious. He's a funny dude.
Oh, my homie, well.
Now, how about you, Brian, about Fan Page 101?
But don't sell us bacon.
Well, I'm sorry I didn't get to smash anything today, but on the bright side, Gunface Evasion Mode Optimus Prime. There you go. So.
All right, plug your stuff.
All right. TFanPage 101 is my Transformers YouTube channel, and I just passed 1,500 subs on that, so that's awesome.
Congratulations.
Thank you. If I could plug in a couple of videos, my Lockdown versus Optimus Prime animation passed 3,000 views, and my Creo Lockdown review passed 12,000 views. It's probably at 13,000 views by now. Anyways, I got that, and you can see the Halo Mega Bloks, you know, the mammoth I smashed on my Tove Ultimate Doom channel, where I just have, like, other things. I don't really do much on it. I'm trying to, but anyways. And one more thing, facebook.com/Transformers fan page. It's a Transformers fan page run by Transformers fans. I'm trying to get more notice. Almost at 2,000 likes, so that's kind of cool. Anyways, it's all about me. No, I'm just kidding.
Me. Well, guys, I believe that'll wrap us up this week for this edition of Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. Scheduled next week, a week from today, we're going to try to have Phil Searle of TF Expo on our show to talk about that show. And we've got some other really special guests coming down the line. We're not going to announce them just yet until we get a date and time hammered out with them. But that's what we have coming down the pipeline. And also, I do want to remind people once again that we are going to try to get some information from our guys at TFCon this weekend, and if at all possible, we may even break live with a live broadcast if any of them can join in at some point this weekend. But I do want to thank you guys for joining us. Thank you, Optimus, for joining us, and also TF Fan Page 101 for joining us on TFYP.
And we will. An honor and a pleasure, man. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for having me here again. And look, fusion coil from Halo Mega Bloks. Smashed it on the ground. Now it's in two pieces. I don't know where they went. But satisfying yet, people?
No.
No.
And now for our special bonus coverage of TFCon Canada 2014. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special supplemental edition of Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. We are giving you some coverage from TFCon Canada, and I forgot to mute my phone. We are joined by Barisi and Megamus. Joined from.
I made it.
Hi. You're in one piece. The Canadians haven't ate you alive yet, have they?
The what?
Well, Mr. Brian Johnson's not there, so I
don't know. Brian may be joined too. Okay. Can you hear me, right, baby?
Yes, I'm trying to wait for my computer to stop panicking.
Prices on the bag, well.
So guys, how's the convention?
Oh, okay. All right, cool.
How's Megamus? How's the convention going for you?
So far, so good.
Yeah, so far it's been pretty good. We're doing we're doing the room to room trade, and right now we got a whole bunch of people here.
Did you attend the charity auction at 9 o'clock? Uh oh, we're having some connection issues here.
You're having technical difficulties.
I'm sure he had to go deal with the customer. So, Bryce, did you get to attend the auction?
What?
Yeah, for a minute.
What?
I didn't miss around.
What all has been going on at the convention so far?
I was. Beer.
Oh wow, we are having some bad technical issues.
Really?
I can barely even make out any. Yeah.
This is called hotel Wi-Fi.
Yes. Well, when you have 6,000 people Yeah, when you have 6 feet and 1,000 people connecting, it's, I'm sure.
I don't know.
Stop being a dork.
Wow. We do apologize. Insert Jeopardy theme here.
Do, 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 do.
I think his video is completely froze up.
Uh oh.
Might end up having to re.
No, there he goes.
Brett keeps running away.
I'm not sure how to
get to bed quickly.
Had to. Oh my goodness.
So, Brycey, what all of y'all experienced so far at the convention?
Not a lot, just more room to room trading and stuff. Get the deals out of the way.
Is that all that's on the first day? Is like room to room trading and the Buster and Trench.
This is probably the
only. All right, give us a first hand. How are they?
Very nice. Good quality, tight joints. None of the floppy. Is that with the test shots?
How's the transformations on them?
Pretty good. Not too hard to deal with.
Are they pretty simple or are they rather complex?
Yeah, in between. Not too hard, not too easy. I like him so far.
Sounds like Megamus is busy making deals. How's the room to room trading going there?
A little busy.
So cool. Wow. It's like, everybody is a guest on TFYLP.
I don't know whether they want to be or not.
Oh, there's too many people.
So what's on the docket for tomorrow? You guys have anything?
Going through the deal room, checking it out.
Have you ran across anything you've been really looking for?
No. Not at all.
Not at all.
Anything really rare or anything like that that's been like...
He already has it all. What are you talking about?
What I'm saying is, I know he got it all, but I'm saying, has he seen anything that is kind of rare been on the tables and stuff?
But rare things here.
Mm. For land shaker.
I don't know.
The what?
Yeah, I know. I know that they come with different.
He froze up honestly for a moment.
Yeah.
This has got a few.
That's all I got. What was his name?
What
does it? Sky Hybrid.
Oh wow.
Nice.
No, sorry. I'm trying to remember.
six liner.
Shark. That's what he is now.
Some other stuff.
That one and that one.
Yeah. So I'll see if they go out the door. They should.
That's good. Yeah.
It's not like they're easy to find.
Who's in here? And I'm going to say.
Well, for the listeners that is unfamiliar with the convention way of doing things and the room-to-room trading, this is a perfect example to see what the room-to-room trading is like. Basically, yeah, Bryce, you can flip the camera around there. It's essentially a room set up. You have toys available for sale, and people can come into the rooms. It's like a little mini dealer room. Of course, Megamus is dancing about.
You know it.
Hey, Brett, have
fun. See, look at this. There you go. Wait a minute. See if you can see. Okay. Stuff.
What's some of the best stuff that you got available right now? still.
Oh, G1. We got G1, Pretenders, Headmasters, Target Masters, stuff like that. All the BotCon stuff from last year and years before. Of course, we get all that stuff. We have some. Let me see if I can get this in here. We have some Japanese G1 that'll come in on, all right. And then we even have some prototypes courtesy of Captured Prey that we are on display.
Awesome. So, yeah, cool. So Brent, what do you have on the docket for tomorrow?
No, they wanted us to
talk. I couldn't hear you.
What do you have on the docket for tomorrow besides selling lots of toys?
Oh, well, that's it. You know that. I mean, that's going to be our big thing. And
beer.
You know, everyone, you know, being
stupid. Yeah, lots of beer.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. They got this, like, two-story slide that I just got to try that goes into a pool and everything. So that's got to be done. You know that. Yeah. It's got to be done. So. Unlike Bryce, I will have a bathing suit. So here you go. There you go. You guys can converse now on that in mental picture.
Yes. So Bryce,
as long as he's not doing it in his birthday suit, we're all good.
I'm not getting out there in that. You seen some of them old ladies? Like a jump.
Hey, I don't know. There has to be some Canadian hotties up there now. Well, guys, are you? Well, the connection is terrible. yeah. Do you guys think you can join us tomorrow night for a little bit?
But later on, I won't be too cohesive.
Okay. Well,
I might make it fun.
Take it out. I didn't even transform it. It's open. Yeah, they were just like this.
Well, real quick, do you have any thoughts on the Masterpiece Shafter or the Pestilence exclusives?
Pestilence has got a good color scheme. Family art. I like it, but Shafter, I've already got the small one. I'm happy with that.
And
it does look handle Shafter at all and, like, see the quality or anything while you were there?
Bought one, but I haven't opened it. It's just there. It should be as good as...
What's the price point on all the exclusives? We were talking about it earlier on the podcast.
110 on Shafter and 20 on the other one.
Right?
Okay. That's actually really really affordable for Pestilence.
Yeah.
It's pretty good for one of those.
Rob, baby, you have any questions?
Nope.
If you put them in the
dryer, they did anybody in this podcast bring bathing suits so that you can go on Big Blue in my honor?
I was going
to
say, you have,
what?
If you're done, can I get two
terms
for
exclusive? And anybody in the pool? I actually have a swimsuit. Megan is just me a smartass.
Okay, good. Then go on Big Blue in my honor because I missed that water slide.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, I would.
He's probably going to slide down it naked and leave a big old skid mark.
Saying I'm gonna... See, it's more fun because he's not here to defend himself. He's over there.
Yeah.
And Peter, here's a... Let's go downstairs.
They have gone.
Okay. Well, we'll let you guys go, and we'll converse here a little bit.
We'll try to meet up with you tomorrow.
All right. Just shoot me a message on Facebook, and we'll try to get things going.
All right. We'll do.
What we got here?
Thanks, Bryce.
Later, Megamas. Good noob.
Five. Wonderful.
Yes,
and big white thing there.
Yeah.
yeah, that we do apologize for the quality on that connection, but that's part of the reason why we were having some issues earlier with the podcast is that there was some terrible connection issues, and we didn't they weren't able to establish a connection until after we had actually wrapped the previous podcast, and so we're offering this as a supplemental. A little bit of information on the exclusives there that we talked about in the podcast, and some prices. Again, this is just the first day of the convention. Not a whole lot goes on. I know they had the charity auction, which Megan was really didn't have time to discuss, but and also tonight is the night that room to room trading typically goes on. But Mariah, baby.
Yes.
You haven't been able to be on the show lately. Anything going on in your life lately that you'd like to talk about? Any new pickups or anything?
Yeah, actually, because I got home from BotCon. I haven't been on since then. So I have my haul from BotCon to talk about, I guess. Other than that, my first job has been running me through loops. Actually, I'm leaving in about 2.5 hours or so to attend my first overnight shift at work.
Nice.
So, yeah, not looking forward to that.
You don't mind me asking where you're working at?
McDonald's.
Oh, okay.
I'm the manager at a McDonald's, so like I recently became a manager like 3 months ago, and now they think I'm confident enough to be able to do overnight. So tonight's my first being trained by someone else. Which is kind of cool.
I want a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit combo.
I'm sure she gets enough.
No. It's the drunk and the high people that decide to come through my drive-thru and order like $50 worth of food and then be super duper duper difficult, because those are so much fun. You know, people get the munchies at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, see, I work third shift, as you well know, and a lot of times I'll get off at four or five o'clock in the morning, and I am starved. And literally, like 2 blocks away from my terminal where I come in at is a McDonald's, and they are the slowest McDonald's I have ever seen. I swear to God, I can order 2 bacon, egg, and cheese biscuits, and it will take them 10 minutes to make those biscuits. I'm like, did you roll them out from scratch? For real?
Okay. So to be fair, the biscuits take 4 minutes to make by themselves, because they have to heat them up, and then you have to stick them in the oven. No. They do them at once, but it takes 4 solid minutes. And I'm not saying they do this all at the same, all like, you know, then they do the biscuits, then they do the sausage. But like, I'm not saying that, but the biscuits take 4 minutes. The sausage takes 3. The eggs then takes 2 minutes, I think. And then you have assembly time, which after all of that, 4 minutes plus 30 seconds for assembly time should only take about 4 minutes. But if you're ordering other things on top of that, I mean, especially at like 4 o'clock in the morning, they're not going to hold things. They do everything make to order at that time.
Well, I can understand if they're really busy, but if I'm if their dining area is closed and I'm the only one in the drive-thru, and I'm sitting there 15 to 20 minutes for 2 biscuits.
Yeah, but still, it's everything is cooked to order at that time of night. There's no sense in leaving things out. But anyway, that's with that job. And then my second job, as you guys know or don't know, for those of you, I guess, tuning in, whatever, I'm also the resident manager of this apartment complex. And my property manager is actually on vacation now. She and my brother recently got married, and she is currently in Germany. So all of her duties are now mine.
Nice.
Which is not fun. It's just not fun in the slightest. So, making rent and making sure everybody gets what they need, and then dealing with tenants, because we recently changed our policy from, hey, for whatever the hell reason, they were like super lenient. So it was like, okay, look, we're gonna have you pay rent. As long as you pay half of the rent before the 14th, you don't get a late fee. And it's like, that is so lenient and stupid. So we actually recently changed the law or our rules, and now it's like if you don't pay by the 7th, you get a late fee. And unfortunately, now this is like causing this huge uproar. Earlier this month, we moved out 3 tenants. One of them is moving out the middle of this month. One of them is moving out at the end of this month, and we're starting 2 evictions. So I've been doing paperwork since she left, and I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. I can't do it anymore. But yeah, that's
responsibility.
That's what's been running.
It sucks.
I know. That's what's been running around in my life recently. Yeah. But on to more interesting things, I guess. BotCon was cool.
What toys did you get? Did you get the box set or?
I did. Well, I bought the box set, but I actually sold it like a month and a half before BotCon because General Techno on Twitter wanted it. So he got the box set, and I told him that I was not willing to give up the freebie figure because I didn't know what it was at the time, because I wasn't entirely sure if I wanted to keep it or not. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I got Flame War.
Everybody is so awesome about that toy, and I'm like, it's just a different color.
She's really, really cool. Well, that, and it's like I associate her with Flare Up in the BotCon comic, and Flare Up in the BotCon comic is like super ditzy awesome. So that's what, like, my first thought was, wow, she looks so different than she does in the comic, because I didn't realize it was actually a different character. And I was like, look, she looks like such a badass in her toy form. And then, like, in the comic, she's just stupid. She's like fangirl.
What was your thoughts on Chromia and RC that was revealed at the con?
What?
The Generations Chromia and RC.
Oh, you mean from the toy panel?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I did not attend that, and I haven't kept up on toy stuff. I wanted to attend it. Believe me, I did. I actually got my friend into her Barricade costume and then took her all the way down to where they were having the panel, left her in the panel, drove 2 hours back down to San Diego, and attended my brother's wedding. So, I saw
your fuel post about that, and I said the answer was simply cheese.
I didn't understand. It was like I got up there. I think I was doing the same amount. Actually, I hit traffic on the way up there the first time, but it was like my brain is going, okay, I use about a quarter of a tank going from home to work and back again every day. So I should be at like maybe a half or three quarters of a tank or a half of a quarter of a tank by the time I get up there. And it was like, no, look, you're at a quarter of a tank. And I'm like, okay, maybe that's because the fuel is hot and I've been driving for 2 hours. I'll just, whatever, not a big deal. I'll fill it up before I head back down to San Diego. And then it was just like, I got back in it to go to my brother's wedding, and it still was like at a quarter of a, or at three quarters of a tank. It's like, that didn't make any sense to me. I didn't get it.
The answer is always cheese.
What?
The answer is always cheese.
Okay. No, and then the only toys I got were Flame War, and then I got, I'm terrible because I forget what these guys' names are. They are Pounce and Wingspan.
So I got the two
white colored clones because they're really kind of cute. They've actually still been in this plastic bag since I got home because I still don't have shelves to put toys on. So they just kind of like come out of the plastic bags how they were.
If I'm not mistaken, there was an IKEA near Burbank, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was, and there's one near here, too. I've been thinking about getting some shelving. I just really kind of don't want to drill holes into these walls.
Get a detolf, and there's no drilling involved. Just assemble them. And.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Is like, I don't want to drill them in. I don't want to drill holes in the walls, but yet there's not enough space on my floors to have detolf shelves.
Oh.
Even though that's exactly what I want, there's not enough room.
Yeah.
And that's just irritating.
Yeah. Desk or something like that that's got a pretty good size, like hutch or something on it, so you can put them on that. That would probably work.
Yeah, or an entertainment system for my TV, and then just use all of the storage space in there for toys instead of DVDs and movies, which is what it's supposed to be for.
I used to do that years ago, like when I first moved into my first apartment that I had. I did that. I stored a lot of my toys and stuff like that just literally in the entertainment center and stuff because they didn't have a lot of room for shelving. So
same here. I had our entertainment center, my ex-wife and I, our entertainment center, I had all the G1 combiners with the exception of Monstructor. I had them complete and lined up across the top. And then all the TFC book style reissues, I had them in the cubby holes like books.
How cute.
That's cool.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I recently got a book.
Go ahead.
Sorry, Plasticon. I recently got a bookshelf.
No. You go ahead. My question can wait.
Okay. Well, no, whatever. Ask your questions. That's cool.
Well, I was going to ask, are you planning on making it to TFCon in Chicago?
Myself?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately not. I'm unfortunately because of moving and everything else. And now, because, so I've said it before, but before this, I have lived with my mother. So I haven't had to deal with like electricity bills and gas bills and rent. And then I lived with my ex-boyfriend who pretty much took care of everything for me. So being thrown into the world as I was a couple of months ago, I'm still kind of trying to get used to the whole I have bills thing. So unfortunately,
there's no extra money. Yeah.
No, there's really not. I mean, I went to BotCon because General Techno bought my pass and it was within driving distance. I'm going to Comic-Con in a week now. Holy crap. Less than a week now. Because that's within driving distance and I already bought my badge like 7 months ago or something like that.
If but, I could yeah, afford it, I'd totally beg you to pick up one of those Dinobot sets for me.
Nobody's bought the Dinobot set. Somebody seemed interested in it, but didn't want it.
I want it badly. I just can't afford it right now.
Yeah. I think I'm going to have to touch base with, because that's actually Pia on Twitter. So I might have to touch base with him on that one because he said he was interested in it. I'm already only helping this year. Literally, I'm only helping out one person. Because like a couple of years ago,
no, we're used like, for carrying like a freaking Metroplex in the suitcase.
$6,000 passed through my hands a couple years ago because wow. I was helping 24 people. I had 48 total toys. I bought five Metroplexes, five wow. of the damn things. Yeah. So it was pretty big. So this year I'm getting the Heroes of Cybertron set for this one guy and then the Marvel Legends set. And he actually immediately came to me and he was like, look, I want these two things. I will give you 25% a markup. And I was
The two things, that I'm most after, I want the Dinobot set and the hair metal band,
the Heroes of Cybertron.
Your Sons of Unicron or something like that. Yeah.
Sons of whatever. Whatever it was, the band. Yeah. This guy wants that one and then this Marvel Universe set. And then if I want it, I'm going to end up getting the 30th anniversary Creon set. It's $60 freaking. But when you think about it, you're getting 30 Creons for $1.50 each.
Yeah.
I have been really eyeing that thing. That thing, once they posted the pictures of that, I was like, holy crap, that is awesome.
The little Rumble and Frenzy, how they're like half the size of the regular Creons. I can't. They're so cute.
It's hilarious what they've been able to do with that line, though. I mean, so many cool things have come out of that line.
Mm-hmm. No kidding.
Things are kind of cool.
Right. Yeah, I'm looking forward to Comic-Con. Unfortunately, because I was so stressed out last year and for the past couple of years, actually, I elected to only purchase 2 days. So I'm only going Thursday and Friday, which are the 2 days when Hasbro usually has their stuff going on, like panel-wise. So those are the only 2 days that I'm going. So I had to definitely be like, no, you know what? I'm not going to run around everywhere. Like there was one of my friends who wanted something from Funko. She comes to me every year and I'm like, I have to turn you down because I don't want to spend the 2 days that I'm there running around collecting things. That's what I wanted to avoid this year.
You want to go and actually enjoy it. Yeah,
exactly. The last few years I've just been so stressed out because I've been needing to get all this stuff for all these people. And I'm just like, you know what? No, I'm just going to go the 2 days and not get anything from anyone. And this one guy that approached me on Twitter, the only reason why I said yes to him was because that he immediately offered me a 25% markup. And that's really the only reason why I did it. Anyway, back to my stuff. I guess we'll have a talk about Comic-Con here shortly, I'm sure. I don't know how well, yeah, you can see that. Okay, yeah, I was one of the first 100, or the first day pin collector persons for the BotCon set. So it's a really cool night pin. I'm a huge fan of pins, so that was something that I had to do. And General Techno said that he wasn't interested in the box set pin, so I got that too. This is the one absolutely thing that I have to keep. Like, if I sell my BotCon set for whatever reason, like, that's the one stipulation I have with people, is that I have to have the pin. Like, you can have the toys, I don't care, I just want the pin. As long as I can have the pin, I'm good. One of my friends bought me this little, it's a phone charm, and it's Springer.
Oh, neat.
Wow, that's cool.
A little Springer kitty. Yeah, it's just something so cool. Simple, really tiny, and it's she got it for me mainly because I'm actually in the process of creating a lost, I can't say it now, Last Stand of the Wreckers Cup costume. And so
nice.
That's
I saw your Saigar picture that you posted.
Yeah, that was, I made that back in September, and I was like, wow, I ran across the picture. Now I have to, unfortunately, I posted that picture. Now I have to actually find the damn thing. Because during my move, it ended up somewhere, and I know I didn't throw it away, and I think I saw it, like, recently, like, maybe a month ago. I think I saw it. So it's here. I just have to find it.
Oh, I totally get that. There's still stuff in from our move. My beard trimmer, I have no idea where my beard trimmer is. So, it's kind of a guessing game how long my beard's going to get, because I have no idea where my trimmer is. I don't even know where scissors are to trim my beard, and it's driving me nuts.
Oh, no.
You don't have to shave your head.
Yeah. Oh no!
I'm like a pirate. I'm like a pirate with a steering wheel in my pants. Yar, it's driving me nuts. Yeah, and it's just. Uh-oh. But yeah, I totally get the missing stuff in the moves.
I know I saw it like a month ago, so I know it's here. I just have to relocate it because I went, oh look, it's the Saigar, and I think I put it back where I found it.
I set up my light box this afternoon and took a round of photos. And one of the things I used to clip my backboard or my background up at the old place was a set of these little pinch clamps.
Mm-hmm.
I searched for 2 hours for these son of bucks. I could not find them. I did not know where I put them at, and I finally found them in my camera bag.
Oh, go figure. Right. Yeah. Where they would be easy to find if you remembered where you put them.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when I had, well, when I moved from Florida, because I'm up in Indiana now. I'm not in
Florida. We all three just recently moved.
we all relocated. But anyway, when I did all my packing and stuff like that, I packed up like everything into certain boxes. And it took me 3 days to find the mouse and keyboard to my desktop Mac. I was like, where did I put these things? And it turned out it was like half of it was like in a box named film and camera. And I'm like, why did it end up in there? And then the other thing is my mouse was in with my sound equipment. I'm like, how the hell did that even happen? Like, I'm more organized than this. It was crazy because I was like, search around for 2 days for that stupid crap.
It's like your mouse is like, hey, there's a friend of mine over there. I'm going to go join him.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm like, I completely understand the whole move thing. Like right now, I got Star Saber setting up on the shelf, but I keep digging through the bins and I'm like, I know I packed the nose cone portion and the freaking blade, but I can't find it anywhere. I'm like, because I was going to do a review of it recently, and I just can't find it. I know it's in one of the boxes, one of my six plastic tin or plastic bins I got everything in. Can't find it though. It's been crazy. I'm like,
that's how it's what happens with moves, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to continue with my stuff.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But if you wanted to say something.
No, go ahead.
No, let her continue. She hasn't been on in 8.
Yeah.
I know. I have weird sporadic times of being on and off. So that's all the toys I got. And then I guess this year happened to be the year, and I backed up from the camera so that I can actually properly show these off. But I kind of am a bit of a sucker for the art, I guess, this year. I got a lot of posters, so I got this one. I'm kind of a really big sucker for oh my God, what are these called? Band posters?
Mm-hmm.
So this one was by Casey Caller. And so this one's jazz, obviously jazz live at the McAdams. And so I thought it was kind of cool. And it's one of the reasons why the Comic-Con toy set kind of interests me, even though I'm not getting it myself, because I don't really want the toys, but I really want that gigantic poster it comes with. And then I bought, obviously, the BlockCon poster this year, which is friggin' nice. Huge. But, hey, Cannonball right in the middle. That's awesome.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a neat poster. I thought it was pretty cool. And I was like, sure, I'll get it. That's why not? I'll spend more of my money. And then this is the one that I was looking for big time since I saw it like a week and a half before BotCon. Before BotCon.
Oh,
is
nice.
Soundwave versus DJ Pwn 3 poster.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. I really dig that.
And it was originally... it was obviously supposed to be on the front and the back cover of a comic, and I was so upset because that was the only place I could find it. But then I realized that the poster was actually being sold by IDW, so I had to walk over to their booth to be able to get it. I didn't get any of the Puggles I wanted this year because every single time I would walk up to the table, people would buy tracks before I got there. And Callie, went, as much as I love her to pieces, was irritated at her because she only made 2 tracks, sold one the first day, and then literally the guy in front of me in line bought the one the second day. I was so mad. I was so mad. So I ended up buying Hound because I needed a Hound. And then I bought...
That's awesome.
I bought a... What does she call them? Well, a little Puggle egg that had a little mini Seeker in it, and it has a little Frenzy. So I got a Frenzy Puggle now, which is – and then this is my favorite Puggle of the entire freaking weekend, and I literally have no idea what to do with her.
Which one is that? That's –
She is a purple, blue, and white with pink bows and stars pastel Seeker.
Wow.
I don't think she's an actual character on the show. I don't think she's an actual character from anything.
For the audio listeners, explain to the audio listeners that aren't sure what Puggle Formers are. Now,
Puggle Formers.
I'm not a big fan of plushies personally, but whenever she had the stepper at BotCon in Dallas, I wanted it so badly, and I just couldn't afford it.
The Puggles originally started from Puff Puggles, which is something that Kelly Carrie Shoka on, you can find her on Twitter, on DeviantArt, on Tumblr. She makes these little cute things, and they're little tiny balls, essentially, of felt plush, and then it's made with like different patterns of fabric. Plush Puggles originally then became into Puggle Formers, which is what she sells at major shows at BotCon, and she's not selling it at TFCon as far as I know. I know that another couple other plushie artists are there this year, but as far as I know, I don't think Callie can get out there. Even though she lives in New York. So I don't know. So these kind of like, I mean, she does like all kinds. Like, she hasn't yet been able to find a Puggle that she can't do. Actually, no, correction. Because she can't figure out exactly how to do a gold bug, because that requires using gold shiny gold material, and she hasn't really worked with that all that much. But considering that her, like this one, from last year's lucky draw, he's a very shiny sound wave. I think she's getting the hang of some silvery material, so she might actually be able to make a gold bug now. But
I'd like to see her make a headmaster, since the head is actually completely different than the body. And
I think it would be like one of these.
Just,
it would just be them stacked on top of each other.
If she does figure out how to make a gold bug, I would buy a gold bug because I do like Bumblebee a lot. Mm-hmm. And I'm a Bumblebee, gold bug, Wheeljack fanboy. So if she's got any of that, let me know. I want some. Those are cool.
Oh, of course.
Like I said, the stepper was to die for back in at BotCon in Dallas. And then if she ever made a weird wolf, I'd have to be all over that one too. But.
Mm-hmm. Then I actually, there's one over here. Get up. Because there's one over here that I actually bought for a friend of mine, and he said that he wanted it, which is why it's not in my current stack of toys. And maybe I can show that off, too, even though it's not actually mine. But here is Puggleformer Signal Lancer.
Nah.
And he's got lights on him. So
that's cool.
That's a thing. Yeah. She, like, nobody wanted him. And then it was like my friend was just like, oh, my God, if she still has him on Sunday, then you need to get him for me. So I bought a Signal Lancer on Sunday. Like, he was the last one at the table, and nobody else wanted him. So I was like, okay, I'll take him home for my friend because he said he wanted him. I did get, like, a bunch of stuff for a friend, because he wasn't able to go. So I also found this on the ground in the dealer hall. I was like, okay, it's just a car sticker. It says the loyal subjects on the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm.
And
was it near the Captured Prey booth? Because I know he's selling loyal subjects.
It might have been. I don't know. It might have been. I don't know. I found it on the ground. I was looking at the ground. I'm like, oh, look, sticker. I picked it up. It's the Loyal Subjects, one of the Loyal Subjects stickers. These are the other things that I got for a friend of mine, Swerve.
Ooh.
The awesome meat. Let's get my glare to, like, not shine on it. That'd be nice. There it goes. Yeah, Swerve and Flanker. And then a friend was selling Tailgate, so I got Tailgate for him as well. Cause
I'm still
he was
waiting
interested
on mine from Catch a Prey.
It was really, really pretty, and I kind of want to find one for myself. But
yeah,
I don't know.
Retail or anything like that right now with those. I think I've seen Cosmos once. Mm-hmm. I keep running into the Optimus and Bumblebee packs and the Megatron and the Starscream, but not any of the other ones yet. Like one time I saw freaking Cosmos, but that was it.
Yeah, I haven't seen Cosmos myself, and unfortunately, the Walmart right near my house is actually like has the tiniest Transformer section I have ever seen. So if I need to go to have some sort of a Transformers fix, I actually have to go to the Toys R Us.
That's not necessarily.
Okay, I got a little tiny story. I know I missed that on. Okay, I have a small story to tell you that I kind of ran into some crazy stuff while moving up here. Living in northern Indiana, there's quite a few stores around here, and there's one called Alco, which is primarily, it looks like it's ran by Amish people, honestly. Really weird, because they sell, like, everything there. It's like, I don't know, it's really, really, it's almost like a Tuesday mornings in a way, right? I go in there, and they have on the pegs three of the Human Alliance figure, like, two-pack, just the small ones. I forget which one it was. I think it was the one that turns into the snowmobile or whatever the heck that was. And three of those on the pegs. Selling the damn things for, like, 15 a piece, and I'm like, what? And then above that, they had those auto-transformation ones, and I think it was from, like, the same movie line that you press the bottom of, say, Starscream, and then he pops open. It's, like, supposed to be, like, a simple transformer for kids. And I remember buying one 3 years ago for my girl's son on the pegs, and there's another one sitting there for, like, $12. I'm like, what? And then this is what really blows my mind. On the bottom shelf, leader class Ironhide for $45. I'm like, are you guys serious? This stuff should have been blown out like 2 years ago. It's crazy. I was like, I could not believe I saw that in a retail store here. That's pretty bad. It's pretty sad. So if any of you guys are interested in any of that stuff, hit me up on Facebook. Let me know. I can go pick it up for you, but it'll cost you because I can't ship it to you free.
That's sad. I'm sorry.
It is sad.
That's really sad. It kind of makes me a little sad when I walk into like a Ross or something like that and I see, oh, look, there's Transformers from the movies on the pegs. They're unloved. It kind of makes me a little sad. But not sad enough to buy them because, oh my God.
I have a sneaking suspicion, aside from the Dinobots, a lot of this line is going to, from Age of Extinction, is going to be that way. The Dinobots seem to be selling really well.
I can see moving. And that's because, you know, this thing has an amazing transformation. It's probably the best one is that Evasion Optimus because it's a solid toy. I mean, it's worth the money. This is the only one in the line. In my opinion, it's worth it because, I mean, it's plastic quality is great. Now, the Bumblebee, because I'm a Bumblebee fan, I bought it. When I went to transform it, the entire hood portion that's on the top of the car is like such thin plastic, it feels like it's going to just explode in my hand. So I was like, nah, it's not good quality. What the hell? Because, you know, you take this out and this is like, oh, I could throw this around. This is nice and chunky. Mm-hmm. The other one, I'm like, I wouldn't let anybody touch it. I'd be afraid the damn thing would blow up. And now I'm talking about the 67 Camaro, the one that everybody wanted.
Mine's not bad.
The Castro would have been like a little thicker plastic on that would work because it's a really weird hinge joint it's on too, and I'm not happy about that at all. But mine this thing, with the money, gotta buy it. It's great.
Well, anybody else? Amber, you have anything else you want to talk about?
I do. Yes.
Okay.
One more thing from BotCon. Actually, two more things from BotCon. My friend has had a booth set up to sell her wares and whatnot, and she had this little breakdown bracelet, which I thought was cute, and it falls apart a lot, so I need to fix it. But other than that, I mean, it's like it's a great bracelet. And I was like, sure, why not? And then Callie had another lucky draw for 3 different Puggles. One was the Soundwave Puggle, which is the one I won last year. And then she had 2 others. One was a 2-pack for Chrome Dome and then a little mini one like this of Rewind. And then the other one was a Viacon. I have the Viacon.
Oh,
but
nice.
I didn't win it.
Cool.
I have the Viacon, but I did not win it.
How did you get it?
The person who won it actually wanted the Soundwave and was trying to trade for it, and then when she couldn't actually find anybody when she couldn't get the person who won the Soundwave to trade, she then ended up coming to me and selling it to me. So I got a shiny lucky draw Puggle for about $40, which is what she was selling the regular Puggles for like 3 years ago. So it's like, okay, sure, why not? I'll shove my last $40 at you. It's like the end of convention when she came to me. So I was like, sure, why not? Yeah. And then the very last thing, and I'm just going to show this really quickly because it actually has nothing to do with Transformers. I put money down on a Kickstarter recently to get Kisa, which are these. It's actually a candle, and it's shaped like a cat. But the cool thing about this is, unfortunately, since it's so big, it takes so long to melt these down. But, okay, I can't put it in the package very easily. It actually has this metal skeleton inside the candle itself. So as you melt the candle, then the skeleton is exposed.
That is cool.
And I thought, yeah, it's a really cool thing.
That reminds me of this artist that's taking, like, it's like kind of like these crazy, like, looks like a vinyl toy. And he's basically cutting, like, a section of the vinyl toy out. But then he, like, makes, like, the anatomy of, like, what the bone structure and the, you know, the entrails and, like, the heart and all that stuff would be like on the inside of it. That really reminded me of that. I think it's really, really cool. There's a lot of cool stuff like that that's been coming up lately because of these Kickstarter programs. I think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, Kickstarter is a super cool thing, and I'm really glad that this Kisa. I mean, the only bummer, I kind of wish that it was smaller, because as cool as like exposing the cat is, like it would literally take forever to actually expose the skeleton of the cat. So, like, what I would have really liked is if it would have been smaller, so that like I could like I don't know put it out for a 2 or 3 hour party I'd be having or something like that and just let it burn. Just like surprise my friends with it while they're there. But it would take all day to burn that thing and I kind of don't want to now but I know how big it is.
That's what she's
thinking. Kind of interesting if you can like, I don't know, slice it in half and then half of it you got a skeleton cat and the other half's the actual wax cat. That'd be kind of
maybe. Maybe.
Just get like a hot knife or something like that and cut it and separate it.
Right. I wouldn't know what to do. It's a cool thing. It's a super cool thing, and I'm really glad I got them regardless. I have two of them. There's that one, which is the gray one, and then there's a pink one because I got the two-pack. So, but that's that, and I think that's it. So I got the little seeker now.
Awesome. Well, I believe that will wrap us up for this supplemental edition of TFYLP. If you missed the earlier edition of the podcast, it should be available on YouTube now. I will have the audio versions of them up as soon as I can. I'll probably combine the supplemental with the earlier episode and make it just one long episode. Since it was all recorded on the same night. The connection issue with TFCon was resolved within 5 minutes after we wrapped up the previous episode. So we apologize for, you know, hopping right back on. And if you missed half of it, we're sorry. But there's, you know, some cool stuff going on at TFCon, and we heard some information regarding the exclusives, and that's really awesome. Well, thank you guys for joining us. Mirai Baby, good to see you again. And Plasticon.
Yay!
We'll see you next time. We'll see you next time on Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP, email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.